This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Matthew, the show where we spill something on Matthew and then put him in the washing machine.
And you, well, none of us can have any then.
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, whoever gets extracts me from the washing machine gets a freebie.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. So this is actually Spilled Milk, in case you wondered.
Yeah, you probably thought you tuned into a completely different show.
Yeah.
Spilled Matthew.
This is Spilled Milk, and we usually cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any. Today, we are talking about cooking smells.
So we're going to smell something. This is really actually germane. It's apropos because this happened to me yesterday that I smelled something delicious and couldn't have any.
Really?
Yeah, because teeth are terrible. I hate my teeth. Maybe I hate all teeth.
Oh, I was wondering how things are going with your teeth. Tell me all about your teeth.
I know everybody's wondering. So let's make this a segment. Tooth news with Matthew.
Okay, go on.
So I have to get a crown. And I've never gotten a crown before, but apparently, like, the thing about teeth is, and I realize I'm not the first to recognize this, is that they wear out long before the rest of you does. So I'm at the part where I went in and, like, for 2 hours, the dentist, like, ground half of my tooth off and then put on a temporary crown so I could, like, eat without, like, getting stuff, like, it hurting and getting stuff stuck in there. And the temporary crown fell off almost immediately. And so I was pretty much subsisting on smoothies and pudding while the rest of the family had pizza for dinner.
Are you a grinder or a clencher?
I'm both. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're a clench. You're a clinder.
A clinder, yeah. A grencher.
A grencher.
The grencher sounds like a creature from, like, English fairy tales, right? Or a Roald Dahl or something.
The clinder sounds like some sort of, I don't know, like German dance.
Ah, yes. Can you do the clinder?
Okay. Anyway, okay. So, Matthew, what did you smell yesterday that you couldn't have any?
Oh, pizza. Like, the rest of the family reheated some pizza that I had made on Sunday or Saturday, and it smelled so good, and I couldn't have any because it was too crunchy.
I'm so sorry. Last night, I made kimchi fried rice using the recipe from, like, the show years. I mean, like, a decade ago,
episode
maybe?
Episode one.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it was especially good because I didn't have quite enough rice. Like, I didn't measure the rice, but I could tell it wasn't quite enough.
Sure.
I didn't have enough rice. And so there was, like, extra bacon, extra, you know, like, I used the same amount of everything else
that I would
have. You
almost can't use too much kimchi to rice because, like, if you just sauteed some kimchi with bacon, how would that be bad?
Right. So you probably couldn't have that either.
No, but right after the show, I'm going back to the dentist so they can put on a new temporary crown, which I'm sure is also going to fall off immediately.
When's your coronation?
My coronation.
Your real coronation.
My tooth ascends to the throne on January 26th.
God, that's a long way away.
They have to, like, send out. They made a mold of my tooth. This is so interesting. They made a mold of my tooth, and they have to send it out to the lab to be, like, cast in, like, composite material, and then they're going to glue it onto the stump of my tooth.
I'm kind of surprised. Wow, this is tooth noof.
This is tooth noof.
Tooth noof. Tooth Tooth noof.
It's like the pau neuf, only it's the tooth noof.
Anyway, this is turning out to be a long segment, but what I'm going to say now yeah. is even more interesting, which is that I'm really surprised they don't have like an in-house like 3D printer.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Some dentists do. It like depends on like they have to be trained on it and they have to like put up the money for it. So more dentist offices I think are getting crown printers where I don't know what they're actually called in their office, but my dentist doesn't have one yet.
My kid goes to like sort of our neighborhood orthodontist,
sure.
and it's like a fairly new practice, maybe like, you know, it's 5 to 8 years old, and it's very shiny and mm-hmm. like 21st
shiny, like brand
century.
New braces.
When she has a retainer and her top retainer cracked,
yeah.
and so we went in, they do like a 3D scan of her mm-hmm. mouth using this like wand, and then they printed her a new one.
Nice.
Crazy.
I mean, I was excited the first time they printed me a debit card at the credit union on the spot.
I was too.
Right?
I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, they didn't. I don't know. No, they didn't print her a new one. They printed a new.
Correction.
Yeah.
A whole new mouth.
This is important. We get it right. They printed her a whole new mouth. They printed a new like impression of her mouth, which then the retainer is made on.
Okay.
This is so important. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, So today's episode was suggested by me, but I don't remember why.
Okay.
Except that this is something that, and I imagine a lot of our listeners
who have
and a lot
definitely
of human
forgotten
beings
what
and,
we said the episode was about. It's about teeth or something.
It's a cooking smells. There we go. So I am someone who does not have like an exhaust fan in her kitchen.
I have one that's like a placebo exhaust fan. It makes a noise but doesn't actually exhaust anything.
Yeah, yeah. I have no exhaust fan. There is like a fan in the ceiling, but it makes it sound like an airplane taking off.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never actually noticed that it pulls anything toward it.
Have I ever turned on to entertain you the bathroom fan in our apartment? It's the loudest device. I think if you look up in the Guinness Book of World Records, like what is the loudest device in the world, it says go to Matthew's bathroom, which is why people keep showing up with a Guinness book under one arm.
It used to be, so when our dog Alice was younger, she was crate trained,
mm-hmm.
and we used to keep her in the crate when we were out of the house or overnight, and the crate sat in like kind of the edge of the kitchen, and when we would turn on the fan in the ceiling, she would go get in her crate. She found it so terrifying.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that.
Anyway, but all this to say, the fan is also like in the middle of the kitchen. So any smell that it would suck up, if it did suck.
How much wood would a woodchuck suck?
Yes. Has to get like pulled it, like across the room before it actually goes anywhere.
Yeah, I get it.
You know? Anyway, so all this to say, cooking smells are something that I think about a lot because I have actively stopped cooking certain things because they made my house smell for days afterward.
Okay,
and
yeah,
I just
we should get into what those things
anymore.
Are.
So anyway, listeners, I would love, like, you know, this episode is one that I'm particularly curious to hear your thoughts on. Like, I wonder how many of our listeners also don't have functional exhaust fans.
Want an email saying like I do or don't have a functional exhaust fan.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody. Yep. Yep.
Could we like set up a Survey Monkey,
Or like a Google form?
Let's ask. Yeah. Let's have producer Abby. Could you please set up a Google form or Survey Monkey or something? The only question is, do you have a working exhaust fan in your kitchen? And we'll report on a later episode.
Great. Okay.
Probably
perfect.
Much later because we're still several weeks ahead.
So wait, how are we going to get the URL for the Google form?
It'll be in the show description in your podcast player.
Perfect. Okay. Anyway, so this episode, suggested by me, host Molly, it's cooking smells. So Matthew, what is a cooking smell? Let's break it down.
Okay. I had a question about this. Since you chose the episode, like you can set the definition. Is it like an aroma that is released when cooking, or could it just be the smell of an ingredient?
I think it's both.
Okay, I thought you were going to say a released aroma.
So this is tricky because one of the things I want to talk about today is roasted broccoli.
Oh, sure.
And I really like the smell of broccoli when it's roasted. And I also, like when it's roasting,
And I also like really enjoy having leftover roasted broccoli mm-hmm. around to eat like cold the next day. But when you take off the lid of your leftover broccoli container, it truly smells like the dump.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, we should include that.
So I don't know. I feel like we need to kind of include all these foods that like all these smells that are released by food.
Okay.
As it's
but
cooking.
We're not talking about the but smells that are not released, the ones that are kept bottled up inside.
Well, like, I don't think we need to talk about the smell of a ripe peach or like the smell of durian. Like,
you're right.
I think we're talking about like
kind
something
incidental
that is actually
smells.
Yeah.
But okay. You know, like raw broccoli, like I was going to say, like raw broccoli doesn't smell like anything. But then I thought about it and it totally does.
It has does.
Like a
it totally
wet,
does.
Like rain kind of smell.
It does. Right? It's a very like wet green smell.
Yeah.
It's also a kind of squeaky smell, but maybe it's just that it's kind of squeaky if you like rub.
Yeah. I'll pretend I know what a squeaky smell is.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, Matthew, let's start on memory lane.
Okay.
I'm going to do one first. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think about cooking smells, like just across the board, is I think about the period of time when my mother would be making Christmas cookies with Barbara Fretwell, which I've discussed so many times on the show. But the smell in particular of like cookies that had like nuts in them, ground nuts, that smell... I just remember coming into that house like after school, my mom would go pick me up and bring me back to the Fretwells where she would have been baking for hours with Barbara. And especially if they were making Linzer cookies, which have ground almonds in the dough, the smell, there was nothing more comforting, I think, than that smell.
I get it. Okay, so for me, I'm glad we said it could be incidental smells, because like definitely one smell that like brings me back to my childhood even today is the smell of kimchi, especially like the jarred kimchi that you would get at a Western grocery store, because mm-hmm. my dad would eat that and I was terrified of it. We've talked about this on the show before, but I certainly remember the smell. And I love kimchi now, but like still that smell like makes me think of my dad.
I love that your dad, this like, you know, white guy in Portland, Oregon, was eating kimchi. You know, like,
yeah, I don't know how he first heard of it, but I think he would just like try anything spicy, anything pickled.
Interesting.
Also.
My dad would try anything pickled, but not necessarily anything spicy. And I think it was more in line with like Eastern European pickled things.
Oh, yeah.
You
my
know?
Dad was more certainly into that also.
More than like Asian pickled things. Yeah. Another thing that I always think about is the smell of my dad cooking hamburgers on the grill. You know how like food often tastes different when somebody else makes it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when I cook a hamburger, it doesn't do the same thing for me like in the olfactory sense that my dad's hamburgers used to do.
Yeah. No.
And like a hamburger smells like a hamburger smells like a hamburger, but still somehow like hamburgers on the grill cooked by my dad is a particular cooking smell.
You know, I put steak cooked by my dad on my list, and I'm realizing now as you say that the big difference is that when my dad would cook steak or burgers, it would be on a gas grill, and really the smell that I'm remembering is the mixture of like the cooking meat smell and the propane gas smell from the gas grill.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because my dad used a gas grill too. I don't remember him ever using charcoal.
So maybe if I really want to like live in that nostalgia, I should like release some amount of propane into the kitchen while cooking.
Yes. Such a good idea, Matthew. The other thing I think about when I think about cooking smells is my mother's aversion to cooking smells.
Oh, okay.
Like, and this is something I feel like even now when my mom comes over, and my mom just randomly appears at my house sometimes, not as much as she could, but inevitably, like, she has like radar for when we've decided to get high,
for instance,
and she will always show up, like, just when it hits.
And you're like, hey,
anyway.
Mom.
And like, I really love my mom, and like, you know, it's cool, but I don't really like my mom being around when I'm like in the giggly phase.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, but all this to say, whenever my mom comes over, I always instinctively, it's like ingrained in me to hope that my house doesn't smell like old cooking smells.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember as a kid, my mom complaining about that.
But like without an exhaust fan, how can you help it?
I can't help it. And you know, the thing is that you know, my mom now often comes into my house and comments on a good cooking smell that she smells. So I think Tony Negroni has been changing.
You know what you should do? You should put up like one of those boards that like you see at a construction site, like a electronic sign that says like, you know, like road work next 5 miles. But instead, like you just put on like what's been cooking recently. And so like what sort of like melange of aromas you're going to encounter when you enter the house.
Exactly. Yeah, because my house also is like very like late 50s, like open floor plan. So you can imagine that whatever cooking smells were in the kitchen are soon everywhere. I mean, sometimes actually Ash will go close our bedroom door just to try to keep the smell out.
Yes, I will sometimes do that too. And then later I find that it didn't help at all. It just kind of trapped the smell in there. So then later, like when the smell is already dissipated in the kitchen, dining room area, I'll open the bedroom and I'll be like, oh, mackerel.
That is what I always say when I walk into my bedroom.
Oh, mackerel.
Oh, mackerel. Okay.
The other thing that I put on my list is chili that I mentioned. That was one of the first things that I learned to cook. And so, like, I definitely remember the aroma of, like, the chili that my mom and I would make together that would simmer for, like, 3 hours.
Mm, oh, I love that. Oh, man, that's great. So, Matthew, I understand that Mr. Etymology is going to be making an appearance today.
That's right.
Do you want to bring him on?
Yes, Mr. Etymology, come on in. Hi, I'm Mr. Etymology, and our segment today is going to be the many words for a smell. So I made a list of different words that mean like a smell, and I want to just talk about like trying to find each one or like what does it represent for us, just like off the cuff. So first off, aroma.
Aroma has a positive cast to it. Aroma is always positive, and it, to me, is evocative of like a like kind of a light and wafting kind of.
Yeah, I think of
smell.
It as like a warm smell. Like
I
like, it's hard for me to imagine like talking about an aroma for like a smell of something that's kind of cold, even if it's a good smell.
Yes.
Like peppermint. Like, I don't think of like a peppermint aroma, although now that I say it, maybe I do, if it's like peppermint tea.
You know, I also think of aroma as having to do with food.
Yeah, although you can have aromatherapy.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. Okay. Next.
Scent.
Oh, my God. So this one always trips me up. I often give like writing prompts that like start from a smell, and I find it really challenging to find the right word to use. I feel like scent is a fairly neutral to positive word, but it sounds like so many other words.
Yeah.
If you don't see it written down, I feel like scent makes no sense.
I mean, I think of the movie Scent of a Woman, a movie I have not seen.
I haven't seen it either.
I feel like...
What about scent for
it
you?
It feels very specific to me. Like you would use it to describe... You're going to talk about like the specific thing that's making the scent, like whereas you could have just like a nice warm, you know, holiday aroma as you enter the house. But like a scent, I think you're talking about like what does this particular ingredient contribute?
Oh, God, that's really interesting. And yet people talk about like
scent of a woman? Yes.
No, like scents. Like, are you wearing a scent?
Yeah, that's true. I guess it can also mean like a specific perfume. But there's still that specific aspect to it.
That's so interesting. I never thought about
that. I don't
know.
I'm probably wrong.
Huh. Okay. All right. Go on.
Odor.
Odor. Definitely negative.
Mm-hmm. I feel like negative. Odor is the opposite of aroma.
I think you're right. It does feel like we've identified a polarity here.
We have identified a polarity. Because like odor doesn't have to be super specific, but it's definitely bad.
It's always bad. Can you think of an odor that is like a use of odor that's not bad?
It's funny that the word malodorous exists because it seems like mal is bad. And it seems like that implies that there could be like a bonodorous or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see if we can make bonodorous happen. You know, the guy from U2.
Okay. What about fragrance?
That feels very perfumey to me. Like, not necessarily, but like, you know, things are described as fragrance free. So like fragrance sounds like something that's like added to produce a particular scent.
I also feel a little bit like a fragrance has a certain amount of like strength to it. Like it might be stronger than an aroma or a scent.
Yeah. But like,
I don't know.
It's weird that we have and there were like more that I left out, but there's still more. Okay. Bouquet.
Wait, but hold on.
Fragrance.
I think fragrance is usually positive, but I think it can also be negative. Like I think it can
flip. So too. But it feels like flowery to me.
It does.
Like
it does.
I don't imagine like your burger having a fragrance.
Do you think it's from like romance languages?
I think so.
Because I get that vibe from it, like same as the next word, which is bouquet, uh-huh. which to me, like they both feel there's a certain like flowery nature involved in both of these words for me.
Yeah.
You would never say the bouquet of a hamburger.
No. But, but now that you've said that, I love it.
I'm getting a little bit of grass, a little bit of hoof.
A bit of hoof. Bouquet of hoof.
Anyway,
I think a bouquet is like specifically wine, like that if you're talking about it with something else, you're doing it like sort of as by analogy to this, to the
yes.
say fragrance. Oh no, that all the words just smooshed together in my brain.
Yeah, if you are using bouquet, you are like imitating the conventions of wine descriptions.
Yeah.
Right, is that what
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. Great.
Remember, like, it used to be like people would make fun of wine descriptions all the time, and like I never hear that anymore.
Well, I also never hear wine descriptions
anymore.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe people kind of forgot about wine.
I think they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. What about our last word is whiff.
So I think this could be, I think it's like trends negative, but could be positive, but it's like a sort of a surprise smell.
Surprise smell. It's like the scent analogous to your mom's surprise cheese sandwich,
it's
a smell.
Right. So it's,
you never know what's going to whiff through the cheese hole.
You never know what's going to whiff through the cheese hole. Oh, no.
I meant the bread hole.
Yeah, right. That makes it better.
Whatever. Anyway.
I think a whiff, okay, like you're walking, whiff. It sounds kind of English. You're like walking down the high street and you like catch a whiff of like, you know, a Doner kebab.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that doesn't, it's fleeting.
A whiff is fleeting, yeah.
It doesn't, a whiff is fleeting.
Wow, that could be like the deepest, most philosophical thing we've ever said on the show.
Oh, God. Remember when we had like a tote bag or a t-shirt that had all of our spilled milkisms on it?
Still do.
I think a whiff is fleeting.
Yeah, maybe we can swap that out for this year's pledge drive.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No, no, no.
In the world.
You
no?
don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on MasterClass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on MasterClass.
Yeah, well, MasterClass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which
yeah.
you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Wow, Matthew, that was really interesting. Thank you for bringing on this. Well, it wasn't really Mr. Etymology,
no,
but it was
I'm thinking of this segment as
game.
Mr. Etymology Presents, because I think Mr. Etymology has to show up kind of unexpectedly like a whiff.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about like the absence of smell, which is, you know, something I think all of us have thought about more than ever before in the last couple of years.
Yes. So I have not experienced this myself, but many people I know have. Losing your sense of smell and by extension, most of your sense of taste because of an infection or other reasons. I think the thing that we've all learned about is that it's like way more debilitating than you could imagine if you haven't experienced it.
I imagine you've probably experienced like a whiff of it.
Oh, sure.
When like you had a cold or something, right? When all of a sudden everything tastes like a texture instead of a flavor, you know?
Yeah. It's not that you, like you lose your sense of taste completely. It's just like it doesn't work right. Like it's lost its faculties.
You know, there is a writer named Molly Birnbaum who... I believe she works full time for America's Test Kitchen now. But years ago, maybe a decade ago, she wrote a book about a traumatic injury she sustained and she lost her sense of smell for a long time. And it slowly came back and she like interviewed Oliver Sacks stuff. It was a really wonderful memoir that included a lot of science.
Do you remember the name of the book? I can look it up if you don't.
Let's look it up.
Season to Taste, How I Lost My Sense of Smell and Found My Way.
Yes. Anyway, if you're interested in reading about the experience of losing one's sense of smell, learning more about what that's like and maybe some strategies that helped her get it back, it's a good book. Okay, so Matthew, let's go into actual cooking smells in our own
homes. Yeah, I'm excited
here.
For this. So
let's start with the positive. Let's go like favorite cooking smells first.
For me, no question, my number one. Onions sautéing in a pan.
I love that smell too. And, you know, interestingly enough, it's one that I felt kind of like self-conscious about for a while when my mom came over.
Oh, sure.
Because I remember that being like the number one smell that she would complain about. Sorry, I just shut a closet drawer with my foot. I remember her complaining about that maybe in like my grad school apartment or something that like, but it smells so good. How could anybody complain about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, give me one of yours.
Okay, so mine is kind of like diagonally related to yours. So I love the smell of leeks cooking in butter.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically leeks, specifically butter.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
So good. Okay.
Okay, for me, bacon. I know it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to go yeast doughs. Especially after like a night in the fridge.
Interesting. So proofing. Not the dough, not the loaf while it's baking.
No, the raw dough.
That's good.
The
that's
raw
good
dough
stuff.
After like a night's rest in the fridge. And it's almost a smell. It almost does something unpleasant to your nostrils, almost like wasabi.
Yeah.
Like it fizzes up your nostrils, but it's also so wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, because like you're releasing like a bunch of carbon dioxide along with the other stuff.
Oh, so it literally is fizzing up my nostrils.
Okay, roasting green chilies. Whether it's like, you know, there's one, I think Tonnemaker Orchards at the Seattle Farmers Markets, they have like a big like gas-fired chili roaster that you can smell from like a mile away when they bring it to the farmers market. But also if I'm just like broiling some poblanos in my own home, like that is such a good smell.
You know, Matthew, if we ever go on a corporate retreat again, we should consider going to New Mexico.
We should, yeah.
Like hatch chili season.
Yes.
We could just smell green chilies up and down.
We could catch multiple whiffs. Endless whiffs.
So many whiffs, so much fragrance.
But as you know, a whiff is fleeting.
Okay. Sesame oil.
Yes.
I really love the smell of sesame oil. I don't love, like, other sesame products don't do it for me the same way. Like, tahini, it's nice. Toasted sesame seeds, nice. Sesame oil, yes.
I agree. I like all sesame things. I do agree. I think sesame oil is the best. But like a sesame bagel, I love that smell too.
Oh, that's right. I think I struggle to differentiate like the yeasty smell of the bagel from the sesame.
Well, we should have a side-by-side blind bagel smelling.
Oh, we should. Oh, this sounds like fun.
Okay. For me, dashi and like anything made with dashi, like that to me, like you know, as soon as I smell that, like, I feel like I've just walked into like a restaurant or shop in Japan.
So wait, hold on. I want to get a little bit more specific about this. So, you know, we did a whole dashi episode, and one of the things we had was like, you know, bags of instant dashi, like tea bags of dashi. Does it matter to you whether it's like, you know, instant granules, tea bag dashi, or like fully from scratch dashi?
No, I don't think it matters. Like the overall like smell profile is similar enough that they all affect me the same way.
Okay. Okay. Matthew, I'm going to go with jasmine rice, which I see here that we both have absolutely. On our list. There is something about, there's so much science that we are not covering in this episode, but I'm thinking in particular about the smell of toasting or cooking rice. It's not completely unlike like a popcorn smell. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what, you know, what's being released that smells like that, but it is so, oh my God, it's so, it is a savory smell, but there's a sweetness to it.
I think that's one of those smells that like, you want to have it perfume your whole house. And like, when you, if you like come home and like there's jasmine rice in the rice cooker, like it lifts your spirits.
Wow, Matthew.
You know what just occurred to me, like, is like a very specific one that I really like and kind of just forget about in between getting a whiff of it is, have you ever made toasted rice powder, like for making a Thai salad, especially lob?
Yes.
So you take some usually Thai long grain sticky rice and you toast it in a dry skillet or wok until it's pretty well colored and like some smoke is coming off of it. And it has like a real like, you know, toasted just this side of burnt rice fragrance that's totally different from the aroma of like rice steaming. And it's so appetizing.
You know, I've never made the Iranian or Persian dish
me neither, and it's been on my list forever to try it, and I think I'm afraid it's going to go wrong.
I'm very afraid it's going to go wrong, but God, I can only imagine the combination of smells that come off of that when you invert it onto the serving dish and lift off the pan, and you've got this like golden brown crust of rice on top. Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
Okay. I asked a couple other people in my family for their top cooking smells, and I have some reports. Do you want to hear my reports?
Okay.
Teenager of the show December, Totsdi said reducing a super savory broth. And I'd put like braising a stew, but I like theirs better.
Where does your child get this stuff? Like, wait a minute, reducing a super savory broth. What do you think they're referring to?
You know, like they come home from school, like throw together a demi-glace, like cook that down for like 17 or 25 hours. Not really.
I believe for
what they're talking about is like, often I will make like a red wine beef stew, just like totally improvised. And if the, often like I'll find that like the amount of liquid that it takes to braise is like more dilute than I want in the finished product because I'm going to be serving it with some egg noodles or polenta or something. And so I will strain the stew and just boil down the liquid until it's more intense. And that makes quite the aroma.
And so part of it is like a wine cooking off smell, absolutely. I imagine, right? Which is such a good smell. Oh,
it is,
my God.
Okay. Yeah, like when you pour white wine and like you're making a risotto and you've got like the onions cooking in butter, and then you toast the rice a little bit, and then you pour in white wine. Crazy good.
So good, because you got the toasted rice, you got the onions, then you're adding the wine and like suddenly sending up all that wine aroma too.
Yeah.
What did Watzel say?
Watzel said yakiimo yakiimo is a roasted Japanese sweet potato. It is a very popular dish in Japan in the fall and winter. And you will find it like, you know, being sold on the street by like a street vendor, and that smells really good. But also, if you go to many supermarkets, they'll have like out in front of the store, basically a glorified toaster oven full of roasting sweet potatoes that you can smell like three blocks away.
Oh my gosh. I love that. You know, something else I want to mention since we just talked about wine. So one of my favorite smells is the smell of bolognese when it's almost done.
Sure.
And the bolognese I make is usually Marcella Hazan's, which has white wine in it. But at the same time, bolognese gives off one of my least favorite cooking smells earlier in its cooking process.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? When you first, okay, so, you know, with bolognese, you've got like your aromatics, you add the meat, you get it, you know, so it's not pink anymore. You add the wine, you cook off the wine, and then you add milk.
Yeah.
And then it smells, I don't even know. It's one of the worst cooking smells, I think.
Yeah. It's I would say it's kind of rank.
It's horrible when you add the milk.
But you have to like go through the funk to get to the feast, kind of.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I just, like, I made bolognese last week, and June came in while I was making the bolognese, and she wanted to help. And I, like, actively steered her away from standing near the pot when I added the milk, because I was like, she is not going to want to eat this if she smells it for the next, like, 30 minutes.
Sure.
What are other cooking smells that you don't like?
Okay, hard-boiled eggs. That's easily number one. Like, you know, it makes me think of egg salad.
Like when they're boiling?
Like, yeah, like when they're boiling, or like, I guess even more so, like when they're cold and being peeled.
Yes.
Like when they're boiling, they don't have that much of a fragrance.
Do you ever feel like some of them smell worse than others? Like some of them smell more hard-boiled eggy?
I mean, I think it probably mostly just comes down to like how long they're being cooked. Because like once you get up to a point, like the more you cook it, the more like sulfur is being emitted.
Ah, I didn't realize
that. So I don't think it probably varies much from egg to egg, but except in terms of like a smaller egg or like an egg with more yolk is going to cook faster.
Okay. You know what?
More white? I don't know.
You know what I really struggle with? So, and I think this is another one of those things that that is okay with me if somebody else is doing the cooking. But okay, so I do not like the smell of chicken fat. Like the instant that we're done eating the meal, I don't want to smell chicken fat anymore. And I think part of it is that there's something extra like sticky about that chicken fat smell. Like the last time I roasted a chicken in my house, which was easily, I think, a couple years ago, because I have stopped roasting chickens in this house for this reason, the entire house had that like kind of like oily chicken fat smell for
days. Yeah.
Days. And it makes me just like kind of imagine like a film of chicken fat aerosols all over everything, which then kind of like repulses me on a whole other level.
Sort of like a schmaltz sauna.
It is. So what is the deal with chicken fat? Like, does it like aerosolize more readily than other meats? Like, it is so intense.
I have
no
idea. I'm not even going to speculate because I don't know, but I agree with your experience.
So, yeah, I have stopped cooking chicken like in like dry preparations, like a roasted chicken or roasted chicken thighs. Like I've cooked it in the Instant Pot a whole bunch. That's nice because it's like wet and it traps the smells differently. But I haven't.
There's a big like, you know, starburst like on the front of the box of my Instant Pot that says traps the smells.
Literally, the smells will never come out of the lid.
I'm sorry, no, I haven't opened mine. I've cooked a bunch of things in it, but I haven't opened the lid yet.
Anyway, so Matthew, I literally have not done anything like sauteing or roasting chicken in my house in a couple of years because I can't handle the lingering smell.
Yeah, I do that all the time and I just deal with it.
But when I come into your house, which I haven't in a little while, I mean, we're recording this from our closets again. When I come into your house, I never smell like lingering cooking smells.
That's because we have 17 Glade plugins going at any one time.
You do?
No.
I was going to say, you do not. Like your house usually just smells like neutral.
I think we just have like more airflow than your house somehow. Because like this thing you've described where like smells like pass through the house and linger for days just never happens to that extent in our house.
And I
will cook mackerel pretty often.
Holy shit. If I cooked mackerel in this.
What is this? Is this like a family show now?
If I cooked mackerel in the house, I would have to get a new house.
Yeah.
I thought of you the other day because remember how in a very old episode, long ago now, you said that if anyone ever spills milk in a car, they have to get a new car.
You have to get a new car, right?
Well, so I managed to have the same car for over 6 years now, and it had never had milk spilled in it, despite the fact that my spouse insists upon like eating cereal in the car all the time. I know.
Oh my God.
I know. Anyway, inevitably, whether they're driving their own car or whether we're going somewhere in my car, they're eating a bowl of cereal.
They're eating a bowl of cereal while driving the car?
Sometimes, yes. I know.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, so far my spouse has only spilled the cereal in their own car, okay? But anyway, so my car had managed to go like 6 years without having any milk spilled in it. And then my child the other day was drinking a vanilla steamer in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And the dog was back there too and wagged her tail and knocked into June's steamer and milk spilled in the back seat of my car. Do you think I should get a new car?
Well, I think it's like a problem that sort of builds over time, because like at first you're like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then like it ferments more it builds and builds.
I just paid off the car, Matthew.
Great. Perfect time for a new one.
Oh, God.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay. But like seriously, though, like when you get in the car, like now, can you smell it?
Well, part of it, it's nice that it's really quite cold outside right now. So I think I probably won't be able to answer that for a while.
Maybe like when summer comes around, like your car is going to turn into like a funk sauna.
That sounds like a great album.
You know what you should do? You should get your car detailed. I don't know what that means, but it probably fixes everything.
I'm sure it'll fix everything. Yep. Okay. Matthew, are there any cooking smells that you can think of that are both good and bad?
Yeah, I have one that I just couldn't decide which category to put it in, and it is the smell of tonkotsu ramen broth cooking. So it's like a very funky pork fatty, like pork bony smell that like in and of itself is really not a good smell. And even like people who are big fans of that style of ramen will generally agree with that. But like it portends something so delicious, and I can't really like separate the aroma itself from the auspicious portent.
You know, wow, so many words. You know what I'm thinking? So I don't have a grill. We wanted to get a grill a few years ago, and so we went out and bought like a Weber kettle because it's so cheap.
I think I remember when this happened.
And so good, but then we discovered that we've used it once. We will never cook with charcoal.
That sounds about right.
So we put it up on Buy Nothing, and some lady came and picked it up from our driveway last summer. Anyway, so now we have no grill. But,
No grill's allowed. You have a sign up.
Someday,
on your treehouse.
If we get a grill, I can imagine it being really useful to have a grill with an outdoor, with like a burner next to it, right?
Yeah.
Because imagine
you bet.
The things I could cook out there that I would never cook inside.
That's a really good point.
Liberating.
I never even thought of that.
Oh, my God. Matthew, when this happens for me, you come over, we make some tonkotsu ramen broth.
Okay, which takes a long time.
I'm gonna pan cook some chicken thighs, get nice crispy skin. So many things
I'm
going
to do. Could
you
get something that's not a grill, but like you open the lid and it's just a stove with a bunch of burners?
I could put an induction burner.
Pots.
I could put an induction burner like on the ground outside my back door. There we go.
That's true.
Yeah.
That'd be easier than getting a grill.
Brandon has often suggested to me getting like a little single induction burner, which they have a couple of at Delancey because Delancey doesn't have a stove. But
yeah, I mean,
maybe. I don't know. I just never feel like spending money on stuff like that. There's always other things to spend
money
on.
And also, like, you'd have to like be outside like while everyone else is inside. I guess this would be like a summer thing.
Yeah, but also, like, if you have, like, I mean, Matthew, you and I both have, like, a little, like, you know, deck or balcony type thing. Mm-hmm. You just, like, park it right outside there and you can just watch it.
That's true. I could park a burner on my, probably our lease says we're not supposed to do that, but whatever.
Okay. Well, Matthew, this episode, despite the fact that we didn't remember really what prompted this, this has turned out to be kind of a delightful romp through the whiffs.
I love to tiptoe through the whiffs on a spring day.
I always bring my ukulele.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. We often like pass by each other, like each like holding up a ukulele,
yes,
kind of at an angle and strumming it as we tiptoe through the whiffs.
Yep.
I usually pretend I don't know you.
Yeah, it always hurts my feelings. Okay, well, you know, it's my week to do Now But Wow. And I'm pretty pleased about this. So it's been a while since I have mentioned a library book that I have been on hold for a while.
Oh, the library puts you on hold now?
No. Anyway, so I've got a book here that I want to talk about today. It's called The Secret Lives of Church Ladies. Have you read this?
I have not.
Okay.
It won some sort of medal, though.
So it was a National Book Award finalist.
There we go.
It is. So the book is The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Disha Filia. And it came out in 2020. It's a collection of short stories. And I'm generally not a short story person, but I had heard really good things about this from another writer I admire, Jamie Attenberg. Anyway, so I requested it from the library. And I got to tell you, the morning after I picked it up, I opened it while I was eating breakfast. And by the time I knew it, I was done with the first story. Like,
nice.
So readable, so smart. The first story, at least, is quite sexy. While also, anyway, the general premise is that these stories, there are 9 of them, they feature 4 generations of characters who are all grappling with what they want to be in the world. And they're kind of caught between the double standards of the church and their own needs and passions. So there's a lot of sex in here.
Sounds good.
Anyway, it's fantastic. It was even better than I hoped it would be when I put it on hold at the library.
I'm going to put a hold on it now, either that or the library is going to put a hold on me.
Ooh, it's really smart. It's terrific. It's The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Disha Filia.
Okay. Hold placed as of now.
Awesome.
Okay, great. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Excellent.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Vote in our survey about whether or not you have a working exhaust fan.
So I love
if someone
the idea
has an exhaust fan
on this.
that technically works but doesn't really do much like mine, that should be a no, right?
I think we should
have 3 options.
I think we need to have 3 questions. Do you have an exhaust fan?
Mm-hmm.
Does it remove smells?
I think this could be one question with 3 options. Yes, I have one and it works. Yes, I have one and it doesn't work. No, I don't have one.
Okay.
What are we going to do with this information? Are we going to profile our listeners for the purpose of targeting them with ads for exhaust fans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
great.
Definitely.
So if you want to get profiled and targeted, fill out our survey. The link is going to be in the show notes.
Excellent. Well, if you, I don't know, want to talk about cooking smells, you can go to our Reddit, which is reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
Yeah, probably a lot of people are going to be over there talking about this survey and speculating about what the results are going
to
be.
I can't wait to decide what kind of visual we're going to use to display the results. Chart, graph, bar graph. What are we going to do?
Oh, I thought you meant like a stock photo. But this is going to be the background of our PowerPoint.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But no, the type of chart
is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah, we're going to do some serious data visualization, some data mining.
Well, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that's...
It's like a sauna for your ears. If you have the over-ear headphones, there's all sorts of auditory aromas collecting and
aerosols.
Also, yeah, that's right. Aerosols. That's the thing everyone wants to be thinking about these days.
I've got them in my headphones.
Me too. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Let's see if we can recapture the magic.
Oh,
Molly
okay.
said.
Hey, I'm freshly showered.
I can smell it from here.
Ooh,
we're good at acting.
This is really fitting because it's our cooking smells episode. Should we do the intro?
Yay.
You do it.
Do what? This is our best
the
episode.
The intro.
I'm
no,
Matthew.
The intro.
Oh,
and I'm Molly.
No, we have to do it again.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.